With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We have a special guest with us. His name is Nick Sugarman. He won a contest that was sponsored by Western PA Laborers Association. The contest was basically the Paul Zeiss apprenticeship program. And basically you win, a bunch of people sent essays in, and they, we picked, selected the one that we thought was the best. And of course, Nick is our winner. So thanks to Western PA Laborers Association for sponsoring this thing. Nick, your mic's on. So Nick, how you doing tonight? Thanks for coming. And what made you want to join my show or me? Sit here and talk to me.
I'm doing good. I wanted to come on the show because, I've always wanted to do something like this. I enjoy sports. I like talking sports more than anything. And football is really what I like to talk about. I actually like to talk about all sports because my family is we're a big sports family. I don't know, a lot of people know me as Gene Steratore's cousin or Gene Steratore's nephew, my mom's brother and nephew. So
that's Gene Steratore, who's the official that works for what, CBS or one of the he's on one of the networks, right? And he basically tells us about the reviews.
Yeah, he's the guy that the people, whenever a ref either there has a questionable call, they bring him over from CBS in New York, and he tells you what he thinks or basically tells you that the ref is wrong a lot of the time because he's one of the better refs there is, and or was, because he stopped reffing recently. And my godfather, his brother, is another ref. He still refs. I don't actually know what he does. I think he's the back judge. Which one's the guy who calls most of the pass interferences?
I think it's the back judge, right?
Yeah, that's what he does. And he's actually done a couple Super Bowls, so.
So you've got some pretty big time officials in your family.
I forgot one. My other cousin, not Gene's, my mom's other brother's son. His name's Frankie. He does Big Ten. I think he does Big Ten men's football. And Big East women's basketball. And he's doing the Big Ten National Championship tomorrow. And it was Clemson beat Alabama last year, right?
Yes.
It was a big victory.
Like crossed him, yes.
Yeah, that's the one that he did in the National Championship. So he did that. My cousins have a lot of big games under the belts.
So does it give you a different perspective on officials? Because if you're on social media during a football game and there's a call, people destroy officials and basically say they're all clueless and don't know what they're doing and this and that. Eric has discussions with your uncle and your whatever. Have you come to appreciate how hard that job is?
Oh yeah, it's really hard, but like, whenever there's a call that I strongly disagree with, it doesn't matter what I would say to my uncle. He would always tell me the ref's right. and I can understand where he's coming from because as much as any other thing in football, a quarterback throws the ball, he can't think right out about the next play. He can't say, oh, well, I messed that up. You know what I mean? Like, the ref has to, he has to go by Some of the refs, I think, disagree with what the call is, but the book is written. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you have to do is what is written for you to do.
Yeah.
So, like, if you see something that you're like, oh, well, that's not, I don't want to call that, but I have to because it's written down. Like, some of the roughing the passers that are called and some of the other things. My cousin, Gene, a long time ago, he caught he had a lot of trouble from other people because he was, I don't know if you remember when Calvin Johnson for the Lions, he caught that pass in the end zone and came down, and it was actually like the start of the rule that you have to take the ball to the ground and not lose it. And like, he was the first one to call that play, and he called it a non-catch, and people, I guess, were real upset with him because I think there was a lot of money on that game, and the line was just, you know what I mean? He just made it go under the line or whatever. So, yeah, a lot of people didn't like that. He did it again, too, when Dez Bryant caught that pass. I forget who he was against, but Dez Bryant caught it down the sideline and came down, and the ball came out a little bit. So he did that one, too. So
yeah, those are some big, you know, big calls and ones that we still see highlights of and people talk about to this day, right?
Yeah, actually, yeah, the Dez Bryant one's big. They always talk about that.
That is absolutely a big one. Well, we're going to get to know Nick a little bit better as we go forward here. Again, we're joined by Nick Sugarman, who is the winner of the Paul Zeiss Apprenticeship Program. It's a contest that was sponsored by the Western PA Laborers Association. Sports Radio 93.7, the Fan of Paul Zeiss. It's the Paul Zeiss Show. We're brought to you by Archie's on Carson Street. Get down to Archie's, the official chicken wing of the Fan. Archie's, the home of 60-cent wings Monday through Thursday. It's also the home of the Paul Zeiss Grilled Cheese Sandwich. And we are tonight, Archie, Pitt plays the number one team in the country, Louisville, but it's on the ACC network, which a lot of you don't get. So we will be having a watch party. You know, Archie will be having a watch party tonight starting at 8:30, drink specials and all that good stuff. Pitt versus Louisville at 9, so at the ACC network. If you're looking for a place to go watch the game, that's where you want to be, at Archie's. We're also brought to you by Solomon Auto Group, and you can follow us on Twitter at 93.7TheFan. Driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, with locations in North Huntington and in the North Hills. We're joined by a special guest tonight. We had the apprenticeship program contest, and of course, the winner is Nick Sugarman, who, by the way, the contest sponsored by Western PA Laborers Association. So we would like to thank the Western PA Laborers Association for this contest. Nick wrote an essay, and apparently it was deemed to be the best of all of the best. So Nick, we were talking a little bit about your cousins and your uncles and all of the officials in your family, but it turns out you actually played some sports too. You played football at Central Catholic with some, I think, pretty recognizable names. So you graduated, what, 2008, you said?
Yeah.
And you won a state title in 2008. And who was the quarterback of your team?
Tino Sinceri.
Tino Sinceri. But you also had what? That was a team. Who else? Who was the running back on that team? Was it Andrew Johnson? No, it wasn't Andrew Johnson.
No, it was Andrew Taglianetti.
It was Andrew Taglianetti, who also played at Pitt, right?
Yeah.
And you had, did you have the kid that went to Penn State, the lineman?
Stefan Wisniewski.
Was he there or was he gone?
No, he was 1 year ahead of me, so he had graduated by that time, but for 3 years I played on the same team with him.
Okay. Anyone else from that team? I know all those teams had a bunch of guys recruited. I know that. I'm just trying to think.
Quentin Williams and Nate Williams both went to Northwestern.
Right, right.
Danny Vaughn went to Syracuse. Do you remember?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Trying hard to think of the other names.
So what made that team so good? Was it just your offense? Was it your defense? Was it your skill position players? What made that? First of all, was it Terry Taunton that was the coach, or was it Art Walker? Did you play for Art at all?
No. Okay. That was before me, but Taunton was the coach, yeah. And I don't know how many of them are still around, but I watched the interviews from the past game, the last game or whatever, who they play, St. Joseph. Yeah. I saw Coach Fleming was still there, and he was. One of the biggest reasons was him. I think our defense, just him and Taunton had very good defensive minds. So, our defense was always really tough. But the year that they won the state championship, they had just a bunch of running backs that couldn't be stopped.
You were a defensive lineman, right?
Yeah, it was hard for me to get on the field though, because I had to back up Stefan, and it's hard to back up a kid that has now played. I'm 30, so he's probably played like 9 years in the NFL. So, backing Stefan up is a little it's a little bit garbage time. But the way I think about it was, it was just a good time of my life. But I did. I made a mistake telling you that I was on the state championship team. I had by that time. I played the 3 years before that with them, but going into my senior year, I had to quit because I wrote in my essay. I don't know if you read the part where I have epilepsy, mm-hmm. seizure disorder. So I had a seizure on the field, and it made it pretty hard for my coach and I didn't want to put him through any, pressure of being worried about something like that happening during the game. I had it during stretching, so, so that was a little better, but having it happen while you're playing in the middle of the game, that would not be good for me or... I remember my coach talking to me. He was like, and telling me like, he's really worried about me or whatever. He didn't tell me you have to quit. I could just see that he was worried. I mean, me and Coach Taunton had a really good relationship. He was a very, very good coach and man. And I just felt like I didn't want to put him through that. So I had to, quit. So.
Well, that's a shame, but did you get to stay at least with the team on some capacity that year? I mean, did you at least, do stats or anything for them, or were you able to just hang around the team?
I didn't want to be on the field and not play. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know if you've ever been to a Central game or whatever, but the stands are, if you're not playing it, stands are where it's at. So, I like to be up there and chair or whatever, hang out with my friends. And do that, but as far as football went, football was my life, and it was just something that was extremely important to me, and it still is. And after I quit and I couldn't play anymore, it was extremely depressing, because that was something I was really looking forward to, and. I don't know. I mean, that's something that I still regret to this day, just not trying to keep playing or anything like that. But I don't know. It's led through to a lot of depression that I don't know. It's a weird reason, but I don't know. I don't really think that that's the only reason, but
What that you didn't get to play? I mean, that did you finish your career?
What, the epilepsy?
Yeah.
It might have been I had a back surgery.
Oof.
It wasn't really that bad, but there was other stuff, but it wasn't that bad, but I don't know, the epilepsy really scared my coach.
Yep. Obviously that's a scary thing. I mean, it's tough, But so you now I see here that you've worked recently with, I guess you do, you help people with you know, drug addictions and things of the such. Is that what you, or you basically do some counseling, or you work in that field?
Yeah, I need at least a couple more credits to be able to be a full counselor. But my mother and my father, they've been working with recovering drug addicts for 20 some odd years. And my mom and my dad actually are in active recovery themselves. They're both 34 and 35 years sober. And it's a real big part of my mom's life. She didn't have to. She didn't have to keep helping people. We had a, but she went back and she kept doing it anyway. And our rehab and our, in her, in I guess like, just a clinic or whatever you want to call it, was a big part of our lives for however long. And the people that we helped with recovery and depression and all that stuff. Really, it hits us hard too, because it's something that everybody in my family goes through as well. And and as recently as 2 years ago, we had lost most of it. And our clinic and rehab had ended up shutting down because of just some things that the doctors or had done wrong that my mom really didn't have a big part of, or she helped too many people at one time. Actually, like, you have, there's a rule that you're only allowed to help a certain amount of people, and my mom actually got in trouble for helping too many people, which I didn't understand.
Yeah, but, I mean, I would think that they would want you to help as many people as possible.
Yeah, it was something like you could only have 10 people in one room, and my mom had 20 because she was trying to get as many people in there to help as she could, because that's how she is. She, like, if we won $1 million tomorrow, she would give it to the people that she needed to help.
Yeah.
And
sounds like she's a wonderful lady, like a wonderful woman that really has made an impact in this world.
Yeah, my dad just as well. And as far as everything getting shut down, we ended up losing a lot of money, a lot of our stuff, which isn't totally, like, it's just material stuff. But our you know, we just ended up in a bad spot with our we have to move to, we're getting ready to move to California, actually, because my brother and sister are out there. They're
what part?
North Hollywood.
Okay.
Yeah. We're going out there, and we're
Well, the good part about that is there's lots of radio and jobs and things of such out there.
Yeah, my brother and sister actually are professional dancers. They give lessons to teach choreography, and my brother has a clothing line. It's it actually sells out here a lot of places. It's called Artifact. It's about because he's the one doing it. I don't know how it's about, like, the hip hop culture and stuff like that, but it's a good cause. And he teaches out and whenever he comes in town, he teaches it in the South Side. I think is it Millennium down there? You know, the
I don't know.
Yeah, well, I have a hard time with it too.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Good luck in California. Hopefully things go better for you guys. Okay. We got to get to a break, and then coming up, we're past due. If you're going to be in radio, the clock is important. So
yeah,
we're past due, but that's okay. I mean, we are going to do a pick segment next with you and me and Kevin. We're going to give people all of our picks on all the college football games. You cool with that? I know you're a big college football fan.
Yeah, that's a good thing for me. Yeah.
All right, so we're going to do some football with you, and then maybe we'll talk a little bit about the Steelers after that. So he is Nick Sugarman. He is a former Central Catholic football player. He's also the winner of our apprentice contest. And that, of course, was brought to you by, or brought to us, or brought to you, or sponsored by, however the hell you want me to say it, Western PA Laborers Association. I'm Paul Seitz. It's 93.7 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.